Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Growth Well podcast, where we explore the art of balancing professional growth and personal well-being. Thanks, as always, to my sponsors at MarketScale for helping make this happen. Y'all, I've got a guest I'm so excited about today. She is a startup COO turned investor with Atlanta Ventures. She's a seven-time Ironman, including competing in Worlds, and she's a mom of two, and or as she jokes, a mom of three, because her husband is just another boy in the house. But she's amazing. I can't wait for you to meet Catherine O'Day. So without further ado, let's get into it. Catherine, welcome to the Growth Well podcast.
Hey, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yes, me too. I've been waiting on this. And, you know, you're a huge athlete. I mentioned that. I'm a wannabe athlete, but I love it. Every time we tend to see each other, it's more, we're both in athletic wear, right? Because we're either doing a Venture Atlanta run, or, you know, some kind of walking meeting or something. And so, you know, I just love how you incorporate that aspect into your work, right? Because you're everywhere. Y'all, if y'all follow her on LinkedIn, she's literally everywhere. She's working her butt off. But anyway, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you and a little bit of your story so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and I played sports growing up. I played softball. I played high school basketball, softball, did a little ultimate frisbee. I went to Amherst College and played D3 softball. And a little bit of rugby. And then when I graduated, I was like, what do I do with all of this energy? And I love playing sports. What do I do with all of this? And I started running. Running got to the cycling and running. You might as well do a triathlon. I had some friends and things escalated from there.
That's where I am right now. I'm scared of the swim, but I'm running and biking. So it's like, surely I can do this.
Yeah. And then on the professional side, I was a liberal arts Spanish major who stumbled into a job in technology, and the first company did fantastic. And that led to another job at a startup. And again, things escalated. And now I'm an investor and helping early stage tech companies.
Yeah.
Founders. So I love both of those things together.
And you got married and had kids somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So, I mean, you're clearly busy, and the people that we have on this show and I meet in my day to day as one of the team members launching a new startup right now that you're a little bit involved with, to, you know, running around Atlanta Tech Village trying to help others, you know, it gets tiring. In fact, you might can help me with this, but when you check in at Atlanta Tech Village, there's a little, do I get tired? ? Yes. Do I ever quit? No. Something like that. And I love that. And that reminds me of you a little bit, but like, in order to have that kind of attitude, you've got to have more behind it, right? You've got to have this purpose and this thing that gets you out of bed on the hard days. So what is that for you?
I love having a goal, and it can be an athletic goal, time goal, a race. When there's an event on the calendar, that is really motivating.
Yeah.
I also have goals around the life I want to live. So I have goals for my career, but I also have goals for my family.
Yeah.
My goal is to be home for dinner and be with my family every night of the week.
Yeah.
And so all of those things, you know, it's a balance. But the other thing I will say is I go to bed early.
Good.
And
How early is early?
Early is that I am usually in bed by 8:30 or 8:45.
Whoa.
And then I'll read and I'll be lights out 9:15.
That's amazing. Now,
maybe 9:30.
Do you read business books in bed, or is that like fiction time for your creative brain to wander, or what do you read?
Both. I go back and forth between fiction and then like historical romance, where it's just like mindless. It's like,
yes,
it's like Bridgertons, right? Mindless, right. But just like fun. And I, and then I also sometimes I'll journal, and I like to do things I'm grateful for, and then things that I am looking forward to or want to manifest or, yeah. You know, have goals around it.
I'm
like to
have. I'm a huge believer in that for sure. Like literally I have my journal right here on my desk. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you have goals, but you have to be loosely.
Yes.
Attached. You can't be too attached to your goal because then you lose sight of.
Right. Absolutely.
The whole big picture, right?
You become so like dogmatic on the goal that you lose sight of the big, like you said, the bigger picture. One of my guests said, you know, I have big goals and I shoot hard for them, but I also hold them loosely. And I was like, I love that. She was like, I don't ever make excuses, but I hold them loosely because life happens. And that's, you know, that's really what this podcast is end up being about, right? Is how do you do that? Because it's not easy, right? And so like from a day to day, do you have routines and habits that you do that keep you growing both professionally and personally to kind of keep you on track to those goals?
I am an early riser. You probably hear that a lot. I get my workout done early and then spend a little time with the family in the morning. And then I am maniacal in my day about blocking time.
Yeah.
And scheduling things out so that I have time for the important things, including I have blocks where I have meetings and then blocks with no meetings so that I can do the deep work. And I look at the, you know, like if it's not on the calendar, it's not getting done.
Right.
And so if there's something important to me, I make sure to put a time block.
Yeah.
And then I also have a 3-item to-do list. These are my 3 most important things. If there's more than 3, it gets overwhelming and I can't do any of it.
Right.
So I just keep it to 3 and it's analog on a post-it note.
I might adopt that though. I love that.
Against my inbox, right?
Yeah. My digital checklists, multiple ones, yeah. Are way overwhelming. And especially when like I just came off a conference last week. I know Venture Atlanta for you was a few weeks ago. And like coming off of something like that, the amount of follow-up plus the amount of work you missed, for me, I have a little bit of like guilt over all the family time I missed in that sort of sprint. And so it's like balancing in that the week after it takes a lot of discipline. You know, I think there's a reason that a lot of the people I talk to end up being athletes on some level, right? Because there's a discipline to do it even when you're tired or when it hurts, you know? So now, have you always been that way? Like in college, and it sounds like you've always been an athlete. So has that kind of early bed, early riser discipline about time blocking, you know, has that always been a thing? Has it changed gradually? Or was there like some moment in your time, in your career or life where you're like, oh my gosh, something's got to give, you know? How did you get to where you are on that scale?
I will tell you a funny story. So I've always been, loved sports, good student. I was a pretty big procrastinator through college.
Yeah.
I still have those tendencies. I think that I'm much better at working with my natural tendencies.
Yeah.
I work well the deadline, as they say, so I make sure I have a lot of deadlines.
Yeah.
And I think that over time, as I've gotten older, I've had to just turn the dial a little bit more on healthy habits.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I had a real job after college, I went to work hungover and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like I can do it in high school, like, or not high school. I could do it in college. Like you could go to class hungover. I was like, I have work to do that I have to get done. I can't do this anymore. So I remember that being like a pivotal moment. And there's another moment when I was training for Ironman. It was my first half Ironman. And I didn't hit my time goal. And I thought I would do better. And I did okay, but not great. And I was talking to my coach. He said, you know, Catherine, if you didn't go out drinking with the company kickball team every Tuesday before your Wednesday morning workout, you might have been able to train a little harder and done a little better. And I was like, oh, good point.
Good point.
And so there are like little, you know, tidbits that pop up along the way. I would say the most recent one, I got a whoop. Can you
yes.
That is my whoop. And it really highlighted getting good sleep mm-hmm. and how you think you go to bed at a certain time, but you don't really always, you're like, oh, my bedtime's 10, but actually you go to bed at 11.
Yeah.
So that was highlighted for me. And then unfortunately the impact of alcohol on sleep so bad.
It's
so
horrible.
Then I cut it out and I feel amazing. Unfortunately, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
But that was kind of an example of as you get older, you.
Yeah. So
you have to make a little tweaks.
Is your husband also an early to bed guy? I'm curious because we have a little bit of a dichotomy in my household, and I'm curious how you've navigated that.
He is a night owl through and through, and it's great for raising children because somebody takes the morning shift and somebody takes the night shift, especially when you have little kids. And I go to bed early. He loves to golf. He's a great runner.
Yeah.
Great athlete. He's really into golf. I joke that he's a really good runner for being a golfer.
Yeah. That's
and
funny.
And he goes out and golfs for an hour or two every night. And we have time during the day and, you know, we'll do time on the weekends and stuff, but I take the morning shift with the family and I'm dead by 7:30. I'm losing it.
Yeah.
So that's where he steps in and he's the calm one and he can be collected. He's like, your mom needs, I'll be like, boys, your mom needs to go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time you do their chores, your mom needs to go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it works for you. So, I mean, that's good. So, you know, with all that you've got going on, I think the common misconception for people that might look at your LinkedIn or mine even, or other people kind of in this entrepreneurial world is that, you know, everything is smooth and easy because you're so disciplined, because you've just got it so dialed in, but that's couldn't be further from the truth, and everybody gets off balance. So I'm curious, and usually, most people that I talk to are the last ones to realize they're off balance because they're just pushing, right? They're in it. And so like, I'm curious if you've got systems or people or things in your life that kind of help you start to realize where like, okay, I've swung too much one way or another.
I love coaches. Mm. I've loved coaches my whole life in all areas. Yeah. So I have my husband is a running coach and he is my running coach. I have a physical therapist. I have an executive coach to help on the business side. I love coaches and I think that they will see things.
Yes.
Before you see them. I think also having somebody to process with helps you grow faster.
Yeah.
So I love coaching. I also do I have a monthly audit for myself where I just sit down, ask questions, what's working, what's not working, what feels hard, am I aligned on my goals and what I'm doing? And usually every month I sit down, I find a few things that I can cut or I need to do better, or if I optimize this, it would really make a difference. So I do the external side. Hmm. With coaches, I do the internal side. And then I also listen to my own self. If I am stressed, if I'm tired, if I'm dreading something, that is very telling. And I listen to that and I figure out what's going on and how do I change it? And you can't always change something right away.
Right.
But usually it's a clue to refine something, like a meeting that you don't want to go to. Why don't I want to go to this meeting? Why did I say yes to this meeting when I didn't want to go to it? How do I not go to this meeting the next time, knowing that it wasn't a meeting that I really wanted to go to? And I do a lot of reflecting, which I think sport and performance, part of the performance is getting ready for race day. The other part of the performance is your postmortem reflection and what do you learn and how do you
You got to watch your game film, right? You got to
So
I got two questions, follow-up questions on that. One, where did that habit come from? the personal audit, the monthly audit. I think that's really interesting.
The monthly audit I stole straight from Sahil Bloom.
Yep.
I loved his newsletter, and he mentioned it, and I said, this is a great idea. And I put a recurring calendar invite with the questions of the monthly audit.
Okay. So you have specific questions that you ask yourself.
Specific questions.
Mm-hmm. Are there lots of them, or like, what are the main things that you ask yourself?
Are my actions aligned with my goals? Mm-hmm. What's the most important things right now? Are there any toxic habits or relationships that I need to stop? If I'm not aligned, how do I get more aligned? What's something that I'm dreading?
Yeah. I've seen that template before. Yeah. For listeners, if you go to my YouTube page, I'll try to find that download. Oh, thank you, Catherine. I'll post it if you want it. Neither one of us created it, but I do something similar, more on a daily basis, but it takes me like 3 minutes. It's just like, and it's really helpful. So, we can definitely put a link to that. And then my other question, and I'm curious because I'm this way, there's this borderline when I'm asking why I don't want to do something. It can be because I'm feeling lazy, right? And it can be that I just don't want to, versus a really good reason, like it's not a good use of my time or whatever. And so how do you sort of, do you have to guard against that? And if so, how do you do that? Or do you just, you're never lazy?
I don't think, I'm actually very lazy. So that's why I try to do things that I really enjoy and I'm excited about. And I am constantly getting more efficient.
Right.
On how do I make this easy? And I've done a lot of work on, I have had a lot of shoulds. Mm. I grew up with a lot of shoulds. I always hear the should. You should do this. You should do. And I have spent a lot of time working to not.
Yes.
Do shoulds. And most shoulds, if you really look at them, you don't need to do them.
That's right. That's right.
There's a reason. Yeah. It's rare that there's something I don't want to do. That said, I almost always exercise with other people.
Yeah.
So even if I'm dreading a workout, even if I'm tired, there is something about I need a friend.
Yes.
They're counting on me. I need to cook dinner. My family's counting on me. And those things, those don't feel like shoulds or
right.
Sometimes they're a little hard to like make yourself do it, but
sure. Another guest on the show that I believe you might know, Margaret Winogur, she says something to that nature, right? If you have to say should, you really need to question why you should and why you're not just doing it, right? Why is it a should? And I've tried to implement that some. It's really powerful, and I think that accountability piece is huge, whether it's your coach or your, self accountability, and having a balance. I mean, I'll be honest. I was having a morning this morning, and, I thankfully had my session with my strength coach this morning, and I told him straight up, we've been working out together now for 2 years. I was like, man, I'm having a morning. I need you to like beat it out of me. And it was great. He killed me, but it was awesome because he knew just where to push and how to push. And having that friend, mentor / strength coach that I respect is, it was great this morning. So I can definitely agree with you on the coaching thing. So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say something about the shoulds. Sometimes also just because I don't want to do something right now doesn't mean that it won't get done later.
Yes.
So that would be the other thing is sometimes maybe you don't feel like doing it right now and that's okay. There might not be the right time.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't understand what the reason is, but in a day or a week or a year, it'll be exactly the right time. So if something feels really hard, like not just a fun hard, like an Ironman hard, but like this is a really heavy lift and I am dreading it. And I really look at that and say, is this the right thing to be doing right now?
Yeah. And is it,
I, be tabled.
Yeah. And is it a good use of your strength, or can you delegate it, or can you partner with somebody to do that? And I think that's a place I've grown a lot, is in those types of questions about like the should, well, it needs to get done, but should I be the one doing it? And is there a way, not out of laziness, but out of, you know, if I take that hour that I was going to do Excel spreadsheets and hand it to somebody that can do it in 5 minutes, I'm not frustrated for an hour, but also I can go out and maybe generate more new business in that hour, and understanding those opportunity costs. And that's been an interesting kind of learning for me over the past 10 years or so. And especially when you're in, you know, startups and there's things flying at you from all different angles and there's always more work to be done. I've really worked hard on, I guess it's not a three things on a post-it note kind of list, but like, okay, what is the thing that if I get done today, or I make progress on today in a meaningful way, that I can close it off and go hang out with my family and be like, that was a good day. Yeah, I didn't get to all of this other stuff, and I'll deal with that, but like, it actually was a good day and I need to celebrate that, right? And that kind of positive self-talk, I think, goes along with this for me.
I love that framing. What can I be with my family and have a good day? What's the thing that I need to do?
Yeah. And then that puts everything into perspective. And I find that things that I repeatedly don't get to, either they fall off or I give them to somebody or figure out a more effective or efficient way to do it and get it over with. You know, and so things kind of take care of themselves if you're taking care of yourself and the responsibilities that you've committed to, like your business, your family, your commitment to train, things like that. But, you know, we still all get off at times, right? And I'm curious, do you have a go-to that, like, when you just, you're having a bad day or your life has just thrown you a major curveball and, you know, it's just overwhelming, what's your go-to to kind of pull yourself back to your best self?
Number one, sleep.
Yeah.
Everything is better after a good night's sleep. And I tell myself, you'll go to bed, you'll feel better in the morning.
Yeah.
You'll have more perspective. So if I can just go to bed, I feel better in the morning. Sometimes it's even a little 10, 15 minute nap, if the schedule affords.
There's a couch back there for a reason. So I get it.
My dad used to roll out an exercise mat in the middle of his office and take a nap on it in the middle of the day ever since I was a little kid. He does it now. He has a glass front office with other people in the office building. He still does it. People just watch him take a nap. And that's the kind of example. That's the kind of role model you want.
You want to talk about not giving a what anybody thinks. That is awesome.
I know. It's such a baller move. So sleep is number one. Number two, I go back to gratitude. And sometimes I'll have somebody help me. Like, I'll be like, husband Kyle, tell me let's talk about what we're grateful for. We have two healthy children. Our grandparents are alive. Yeah. We have each other. I have a job. Like all of these things. I get to run every day. We have a house. There's so much to be grateful for in our life that oftentimes when you have a bad day, something's frustrating, it's never as bad as it seems.
It really is.
And you just have to get perspective. Yeah.
And it passes eventually, one way or another. And so, yeah, it's about that perspective, but I think it is important. The thing that I keep hearing from you and I found in myself is shared experience, right? You talk to your husband or you talk to your coach or you talk to your therapist or you talk to the startup founders that you're working with, whatever it is, but it's, if you sit alone in it for too long, sometimes that reflection time is good, but if you sit alone in it for too long, it might be detrimental, you know, and everybody's different. I know I can't sit in it alone for too long. It's not good for me. So, so you spend a lot of your time talking to founders, right? Because you're an investor and you talk to people in the, startup community. And, I think our audience is heavy in the kind of founder startup community and people who want to be where you are eventually, or they want to be one of your founders that you end up investing in. And one of the things that I love about Atlanta Ventures specifically is just the values that you adhere to, right? And all of you live those. And so, you know, I'm curious what advice, if somebody's listening to this that wants to grow up and be a mom and an athlete and a career woman that's awesome, that is a, you know, very active in the community, what advice would you give to them that you haven't already said, obviously, in our conversation here?
So this is kind of unusual, but my parents never told me I was pretty. Mm. And I know that sounds like a funny thing to say. They said, you're smart. They said, you're strong. They said, you're a good leader. And so as I went out into the world, I had good skills from sports. You know, my dad taught me, if you're going to foul, foul hard. If somebody crowds a plate, throw an inside fastball. If you hit them, if there's somebody who can't catch the ball, that's okay. You still throw hard.
Yeah.
Like you don't dim your light because of other people.
Amen.
And it's okay to be strong. And so I'd had that lesson from a very young age. And so as I went out into the world of corporate, of tech, it didn't bother me. Like I was able to joke with people. The competition doesn't bother me. I think it's fun. I look at it as a game. I don't worry that it was my looks that got me here. I'm like, no, I'm smart. I'm strong.
Yeah.
I'm a leader. Like these are the things that matter. And so, that would be something that that's more advice for kids, I think, you know, like how, but I think that, the values that you learn in sports and performance translate directly to the business world.
Yeah. I mean, it's really about knowing your worth, right? And knowing that your worth is not in something that is labeled by others, right? It's in something, it's in your belief, it's in your story, it's in your experience and the unique things that you bring to the table, whether that's as an investor or as an athlete or as a mom. I mean, you bring something unique to everything. And I think it's really important for people to, you know, take the time to try to identify those things, right? I do a lot of things really well and a lot of things really poorly, but I try to lean into the things that I do well, you know, because that's how I can, you know, be the light that I want others to experience, right, in the world. So I love that advice. And I don't think it's for kids. I think it's for all of us, right? It's we all need a constant reminder to look ourselves in the mirror and give a pep talk that, you know, what is that old Saturday Night Live? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and dadgummit, people like me. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing, but really believing in your value and your worth to the world. So what's next on the horizon for you? Do you have a race in mind, or are you and Atlanta Ventures doing fun things? You doing something fun with the kids? What's next for you?
All of that.
All
yes,
of the things.
All of that. I have a half marathon that I'm training hard for in a few weeks. I am, you know, we always have a family trip, fun weekend plans that I'm looking forward to. And then on the Atlanta Ventures front, lots of great events, founders that we're investing in or helping. Hopefully by the time this is published, we will have another founder funder run planned, which is my favorite because it's the best of both worlds. It's tech investor world meets running and sports. So it's like the pinnacle for me.
It's
just do a founder funder run every single day for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, so thank you.
That will hopefully be on the horizon too.
Yeah. I did the last founder funder run and it was so fun. It was so fun to just be out there at way too early in the morning, running with a bunch of random people who have similar interests and, You know, I've talked to you about, you know, similar groups I want to start around cycling, right? And see if I can get a group of founders and funders and people in our sort of spheres to get out on a bike every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see if, you know, when this comes out, if that has happened, but I've got some things I'm thinking about and working on. So, you know, that's, I love this conversation. I love all the things that you've shared. I love what you're doing for the startup and the entrepreneurial community in general. So if people want to connect with you, is LinkedIn the best way? If so, we'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes so they can reach out and say hello and that kind of thing.
Yeah. LinkedIn. I also blog every week.
Yes, it's good too.
Substack.com. Yes. We got some jokes. We got some healthy habit tips, how to build a company, all the things.
I've challenged myself to start writing more because of you, just so you know.
Oh, thank you. Great.
Yeah.
This is why I just love sports and performance, right? Because you see other people and it helps you be the best version of themselves. I'm on the podcast. I'm like, I should do a podcast. Look at Josh. He's doing this podcast. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's fun.
And so that's like, you just want to be around other people that make you better in all the areas. Yeah. And then the fun thing is a little bit of Instagram. I talk a little bit more about sports, running, family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus some founder investor stuff.
I love it. Well, we'll put links there for people to find you and stuff. Thank you so much for this conversation. It's been so fun to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been awesome to be on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's a wrap, everyone. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Growth Well. We are now in season 2 and we want to invite you to share this with others. We believe that we're, you know, trying to put some light out in the world, sharing stories like Catherine's. And so if you wouldn't mind, share with a friend. And thanks as always to MarketScale for helping me out, put this out. And until next time, go out there and pursue growth well.